right, let's be sure we're back in fellowship. I just wanted to read a couple headlines from this one site here. Israel under attack, hundreds of rockets fired from Gaza in today's top stories. Israel under attack, hundreds of rockets fired from Gaza. On Friday evening, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad began firing rockets into southern Israel, sending civilians into shelters. As of Saturday night, over 350 projectiles were fired and 580 by Sunday morning. And then you can read more, which I'm not going to do. IDF, that's Israeli Defense Forces. Footage shows beyond doubt that misfired Islamic Jihad rocket killed children in Gaza. And then the last one I have here, rising from the ashes. Record crowds ascend to the Temple Mount on Tisha B'Av. What's that? While Israel fasted and mourned the destruction of the temple, 70 AD, by the way, temple, an estimated 1,800 to 2,000 Jews ascended the Temple Mount on Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av, as about 580 rockets were fired at Israel by the Palestinian Jihad from Gaza. Yeah. Action. It's interesting that three destroyed temples, Solomon's by the Babylonians, let me just put it this way. The temple was destroyed by the Babylonians was Solomon's, excuse me. The temple that was destroyed by the Romans all occurred on the same day of the same month. It's almost like divine providence is involved here. What are the chances of that out of 365 days? Very slim. Just as a sign, even in the destruction of the temples. So this ninth of Av, name of that Jewish month, that was always a very solemn time for the Jews, because they got their temples were destroyed. Obviously, God using them and His wrath against Israel for their apostasy. So keep watching, keep looking. A series of events will occur, and they'll be unstoppable, and it'll lead to that temple going up. They got everything ready to go, and if God's blessing something, if God's behind something, It's gonna fall in place real quick. They're anxious to do it. Those Jews up on the Temple Mount, see, they're not even supposed to be there. And of course, this isn't. Christians, Jews, and Muslims have it all wrong. That where I went up on that mount back in 1999, we walked up there because there's the gold. There's the mosque with the gold dome, and then there's a smaller one down the way. That it'd probably be the area where it's built. It is not where the temple of 70 AD was built. It's funny how you can take scripture and see through stuff. It takes a little bit. I'm the first to admit that. It takes a little bit. But Jesus said when that temple was going to, he prophesied the destruction of the temple while he's with the disciples as they looked west from the Mount of Olives, which rises up, because here's the temple area, then there's the valley of Kidron Valley, and then you go up the other side where there's Jewish cemetery, where there's where we went to eat at this Arab fellow's house And you look over it, you can see the Dome of the Rock. So it was on that mount that Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, but that was a different location. That's where he gave the Olivet Discourse, where he described the destruction of the temple, among other things, and his coming. And when he comes back to the earth, what real estate does he put his feet down on first? Mount of Olives. Where did he ascend from? Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives will split, and Jews will escape through it like the Red Sea crossing at the Second Advent, under the siege of Jerusalem. What did he say about that temple? That the disciples were, oh, this, look at the temple and all the beautiful buildings. And it was eye candy. It was beautiful. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was so beautiful. Gleaming out there on a bright sunny day. Building up national pride. Jesus threw cold water on them. Prophecy throws cold water on people that don't understand. He says, I tell you that there will not be one stone left on top of another. Well, you don't have to tear the thing to the ground to defeat it and destroy it. But he prophesied an utter destruction, the kind that would normally never have occurred by a conquering army. But the Romans brought the whole thing down. Right down to the big, big foundation stones. Nothing's left. There's reasons for that in the extra biblical literature. They believe there was gold between the deal, and they went fanatic. And their general, the general of the Roman armies, Tiberius, he didn't want them doing unnecessary damage to that temple. But they got out of hand. They got out of control and overrode him and did what they were going to do, because they were fulfilling prophecy and didn't know it. So what the whole point of the whole exercise is, the Temple Mount that they call it today is a Roman fortress. And where the Jews go up and go like this and bow and stick in the cracks, stick little prayer deals. Women on this side, the men on this side wearing their little... Because when we went down there, we had to wear a little made out of you know, paper thing on your head. What are they? I forgot the name. It slipped my mind. But you couldn't go down there without it. And the women had to be on this side, and the men had to be on this side. And they're all out there doing their thing, you know, before a Roman fortress. See, the Roman fortress, and then we went up on the top, and we went up where the Dome of the Rock is, the Muslim mosque that was built in 691 A.D. We went up there, and there's a rough piece of rock in the center, and people are out there doing genuflexing around this rock like an idolatrous thing. But we were up there anyway. Guy had to be able to go up there and see it. We went up there, saw it, all that, and but that area where that mosque is built, what was it back in Jesus' day? It was where Jesus was brought before Pilate, inside the fortress. Jews, Orthodox Jews, wouldn't go in there. But they did on this occasion to twist Pilate's arm, so to speak, to get him to fulfill their wishes with regard to Jesus. So Christians, Jews, and Muslims think, well, the Muslims have their goofy religion where they say this is the point where Muhammad, the prophet, ascended on a white charger from this and went to heaven. Okay. Now, so everybody's got it wrong. The actual temple site is south of there, further down the grassy knoll, down the way, and it's all covered over with the grass. That's where the real temple was. But I'm suspecting that they'll go ahead. Time will tell. They won't figure this one out. You say, well, how did they get it that far off? There's a book in our library written by a guy from Oklahoma, last name Martin, The Temples Jerusalem Forgot. And you go back to also to the Intertestament period. The temple that was built after they come back from exile under great duress when they were trying. That's the first thing they did when they came out of Babylonian exile. The first thing they did, because the Persian rule was you can't rebuild the walls of Jerusalem until they gave the decree to do it. And when that decree was given, and between that time and the decree that they could rebuild under the Persian ruler Artaxerxes, when he gave that order that they could rebuild the walls, that's when Daniel's 70th week of years began. On that date, and we know what it is. But anyway, and then after that temple was built that the Jews started building when they came back out of Babylonian exile. And they did it under a lot of duress because they had, like they do today, they have enemies out there that were ensconced in the land after the Israel was kicked out of it, and they were having to work with their doing their construction work with their sword on their side as they built that temple. Then that temple got desecrated by that maniac Greek tyrant Antiochus Epiphanes, when he went into the most holy place and, you know, to really violate Jewish sensibilities, spread pig's blood all over inside it. So there's more than the temples that we've been given. This trib temple is going to be used for two things. One, to worship God in the right way for the first half of the trib, and then it's going to be desecrated. Because the corrupt Jewish leadership, and don't be one of these starry-eyed fundies, the Jews can do no wrong. Yes, it is the land that God promised to Abraham and his genuine descendants, racially and regenerate. The other Jews, they're all pushed out. Unbelieving Jews, like unbelieving Gentiles, are doomed. And there are a lot of them. And the Jews in Israel today are screwed up in so many ways, it isn't even funny. But that doesn't change the fact that they're back, and the last thing they get is their temple. Their temple. They build up their military forces, everything. They got all this going on. They got an Iron Dome. They got this. They got all this kind of technology. And everything is surrounded by all these enemies. It's like Old Testament times almost, except it's a modern world. And they're like fundies. They quote the Bible, but they miss so much. Well, they miss the Messiah. What do you got from that? You can quote in the Bible and say you're not supposed to do this and that. Yeah. Anybody can read that. But they don't have the way of salvation straight. They just, some Messiah is coming from somewhere eventually. And these are the last days. They believe that. They're right about that. And they're right that Russia's Gog and Magog, but they got the timing of everything all screwed up. The rabbis are all pronouncing stuff right and left. And there's conservative ones. And Jewish rulers fall into different categories. Here's a country, you know, they have a gay pride march. They do in Israel. Even Muslims won't do that. You're a homosexual and you're caught among the Muslims, they'll kill you. Capital punishment. Boom. That's one of the ironies, you know. Because in our country, we are now more and more pro-Palestinian and anti towards Israel. Our political leadership, current political leadership. I mean, there's exceptions, and there are people that were exceptions. Trump was an exception. But a lot of them, no. So it's another, you know, nail in our coffin. Those who bless you, I will bless. And those who curse you, I will curse. So there's a bunch of people up for big time cursing just for the mistreatment of the chosen people. And the chosen people, we don't justify. If we're in the Old Testament, we don't justify what they were doing at a particular point. At a certain point, they were gross. Their leaders were gross. The people, population wasn't. That's why these prophets were having to be sent. And now why this wrath had to come down on them, and in the extreme, kick them out of the land. Exiles, drug off into some captivity. But then they'd be restored. We're going to have another startup. And this is the final restoration. This is it. And I noticed also that when those verses in Zechariah where it says, flee from the land of the north and escape from Babylon, two different places. Well, if you flee from something, it's because you feel that there's an imminent danger in where you're located right now. So you flee from that. That's Russia, land of the north. Always is. Straight up from Jerusalem, I think, you'll hit Moscow. It's the land of the north. Russia is trying to shut down the agency that processes Jews who want to go back to the land and do the immigration paperwork, process, get approved, boom, boom, boom. They want to eliminate that. So something's going to happen that the Jews are going to have a window of opportunity. They say there's about 100, they calculate that at that agency, that existing within the Russian population, there's about 183,000 of them. And then, of course, escape from Babylon. Well, we know what that one is. That's quite clear. After the rapture and the angelic announcement and doing a hook shot with the Statue of Liberty in its base into the center of the Atlantic and making a speech. I remember when I figured that out. I feel real good about it. I was going around, going to throw a great stone out in the Atlantic and say this illustrates Sri Lanka's a big body of water, obviously. And you take a stone that the Statue of Liberty is sitting on, this big round stone, you pull it up, don't even mention the statue, it's still on there, and flip that out in the middle of the Atlantic in the deepest trough out there, we aren't going to be finding it. It's going to sink all the way to the bottom and bury itself down there to never be recovered again. And that's the prophecy of the destruction of the United States. And so everybody that's in the United States is told of the three big announcements there to get out of here and go back to the land of your people who immigrated here, if you could figure that out. Well, it's easy for the Jews. We go back to Israel. So they will be escaping a nuclear holocaust. So all this is percolating real good right now. Don't lose heart. Hang in there. Stick with it. I truly believe we have very little time, and this insanity that has this country in its grip cannot continue for a decade. It can't continue 5 years, I don't think. That's my projection. At this speed and this rate of things are going, we won't even be able to meet here. It'd be like beyond just being kicked off YouTube. Big deal. Because I made some comment about LGBT+. And all I'm doing is reporting what the Bible says. Well, that's hate speech. Yes, it is hate speech. God hates it, I hate it. If God likes it, I like it. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? If God hates it, you're supposed to hate it. We want people all to be everywhere to be saved, but the activity we hate. So, review the doctrine of hate. They define who you're supposed to love and who you're not supposed to love. So if I get kicked off for that or anything, big deal. God will get his word out there. Nobody can bind the word of God. It'll get out. There's positive volition, even if it's just for the gospel. He's going to get it out there. He oversees the evangelization and the exposure of people on earth to the plan of God. We've had two illustrations in our history. There's no doubt others. But two out-of-country illustrations. The fellow that found our webpage while he worked in a university in Lomé of Togo on the coast of West Africa. Benjamin Bonney. God, he finds our webpage. And it clicks with him. And then the other fellow was evangelized by somebody that was on an oil rig in Oman, who was in our church at St. Left. And he's from southern India. We had the privilege, Brenda and I, of showing his son and his wife hospitality. They came up here from Houston. They were on a trip, and they came up here and spent the night here and sat in the Bible class. But his father, excuse me, his father was introduced to this doctrine way back in the day, and he's got a British name, but he's Indian, Vincent Thomas, or Thomas Vincent. So pray for them. Keep them on your prayer list with all this that's going on. So we came to the conclusion that the sun, moon, and stars were put in place, created out of nothing, ex nihilo, not out of pre-existing material. Forget that. The sun, moon, and stars were all crafted and set in place on the fourth day of Restoration Week, our Wednesday. This is what the Bible says. You can get mad at me because I said we had vegetation before we got by 24 hours or so. That's all I'm saying. It's right here. Fit that into anything you've heard out there in the science realm with the origin of things, living things, or the origin of what they call the universe. See, well, I don't accept that part of their thing. Well, that's great. You accept this part. I think God created all that. There wasn't an explosion. Well, that's not what you get. You get Big Bang 1, Big Bang 2. Yeah, I heard a guy says, well, this is what the second one's going through. These people have lost their damn minds. This is the wisdom of the wise that just make fill in the blank, stuff up. They make it up and they put big formulas with it. And it sounds really good. You know, Einstein with all these math stuff on a board, that proves nothing. It proves nothing. Demonism and math. Coming up with stuff. Satan had to overthrow the Bible. Well, what are we going to do with that? We'll attack the creation narrative. We'll attack it. He's got plenty of time to think this stuff up and work through people. The first person that said it was a ball was a Greek philosopher. And he came up with this, and it later became Ptolemaic astronomy. Pythagoras. You probably heard of his math. Pythagoras. His math was good. Yeah, he did good with math. But he speculated there was this ball, but it was stationary, and the sun was running around it. That was his view. Well, all the nations didn't say, oh, wow, that's great, let's go with that. They did not. They continued to hold to their ancient belief that the earth was flat. They had various variations on the theme, which you would expect, versus the Genesis account. They threw in all their pagan deities, and this one did that. And okay. But all kinds of these civilizations. But this got sold to the nations, one nation at a time. One group of people at a time. It received resistance. In fact, Christians resisted it. A lot of them. They wrote books back in the 1800s. This is out of line. And here's why, and they're very articulate. But gradually, all of them caved into it. Even the most conservative of them. There's an outfit called Christian Research, Creation Research Institute. All they've focused on, and what their publications are, and what they focus on, what their lectures are, is strictly defending that the Bible's the Word of God, and that there was a Noahic worldwide flood with evidence, physical evidence left behind, like fossils high on mountains. This is animals that got caught, and their image is caught in rock, which requires, animal can't just die and then have a picture of him here. It has to be pressed in here, great pressure, and forming all these fossils. How about fossilized trees sticking out of the walls of the Grand Canyon? Explain that one. Fossilized. Trees, if they go bad, they sit there and they finally rot and die. These are fossilized. So forces were involved. So they defend all of that to their credit. But they ran like a scalded dog on the flat earth doctrine, because it makes them look bad. They should have figured this out. They figured this other stuff out. And they don't believe in any of the evolution stuff with regard to the origin of the species. They're not into any of that. It's Genesis here. All right. They believe the cosmology of the cosmos, the current one we were fed from day one, that we walked into our first little kindergarten class, and there's a globe sitting over there. Spin, spin. And I'm indoctrinated already. I don't have to be told anything. Where am I at on here? Right there. There's the United States, and you're right up here. Oh, good. Because I didn't have the smarts to ask hard questions. Because these are the great smart minds. They couldn't be wrong, right? But then as a Christian, I realize it's the cosmos, and the devil will deceive you with religion, with science, with philosophy, whatever. It's like a big cafeteria line. Pick what you like. Or what you were raised up in your culture. That's what you believe. And you run and fall down and worship it literally or metaphorically. And typically, these people who are evolutionists and everything, they're atheists. But all atheists know the concept of a supreme being. Otherwise, the word atheist wouldn't mean anything. No God. That everything is just the natural realm, and that's it. And that's what they believe. And there's been Christians that have been converted over to that. They were raised up in Christian homes and evangelical churches and are now evolutionists because they went to school and took a deal, came out of the influence of this professor. People are easily deceived. Know that. Easily deceived. Good people are deceived. We've seen it around here, how they've been faked out. Just because you've got a ton of doctrine doesn't mean you cannot be deceived. You've got to keep your guard up. You've got to be ready. Because the cosmos out there is antagonistic. With its friendly face, and we like friendly people, with its friendly face, yeah, they just know you on the surface, maybe. You start revealing what's in your soul. They won't be so friendly. Oh, they might be polite, but they hate it. You either love the truth or you don't. You know, it's that simple. It's just the way it is. And if you love the truth, then you love God because He is truth, and you strive within the framework of what we know to do His will. So these luminaries, as they called them, lights, they were placed in the firmament. And the big point I wanted to make there that some people didn't like, but vegetation preceded the existence of the luminaries by one day. Read Genesis 1:9 and following. Nothing in the realm of modern science even remotely supports this. Nothing. And you and get mad at me? It says it right here. Get mad at the Bible. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says we got plants 24 hours before we got sun, moon, stars. I don't know how else to say it. That ought to throw a monkey wrench into all the rest of this. A major monkey wrench. How do you fit that with the Copernican vast universe solar system model? How do you fit that in there? If you were a believer in the spinning earth, run around the sun, blah, 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 planets, blah, 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 all the rest of it, millions and millions of light years, on and on and on, on and on and on. How could you possibly, and you say you're a Bible believer. You believe literal, grammatical, word of God. And you run up against this. You run up against, we got vegetation before we got sun, moon, and stars. What does that mean? The earth existed all by itself out here, spinning. And he put plants on it. And then he threw the sun, moon, and stars out there in the like they say it exists today. Really? That's ridiculous. You can't. That doesn't fit anything. I'm trying to do what someone might try to do to say, keep the Bible and keep the other and hold the two opposites at the same time. You can't do it. You throw one away or the other. So this whole cosmology system was designed to hide God. Turn people away from God, and everything is mechanistic. Something just happened. Could have been anything, but this happened. And it blew up, and now we have all this sophisticated creation, just judging by the earth. We got all this sophisticated creation, right down to the cellular level. And it happened. Oh, there was a big explosion of life forms during the... Have you ever heard of it? Cambrian era. The Cambrian explosion. All these life forms start coming out. And they sing this thing. I got a little bit of it in high school. The timeline with the different, ages, ice age, blah, 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 blah. And this is when we got those animals, and then these went extinct, and we got this, we got that. Sure, some animals have gone extinct. No doubt about it. But they all came on the scene at once, which is coming up, and I will see you Tuesday night. Be here with bells on. We don't have much time left, and there's so much at stake. Do not be discouraged by the paucity of positive volition or what's going on out there. Christ has it under control. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name.